Parshas Lech Lecha. Parshas Lech Lecha is a very special parsha. Every day of the week, we live with Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is traveling, going away from Ur Kasdim and from Haran, where his family was living, and going to a place that he himself does not know.
That's right. Hashem did not tell Avram where he's going to. He just said to Avram, Lech Lecha, go. And Avraham listened. Avraham Avinu lived in a very, very difficult time. Avraham was called Ha-Ivri.
Ha-Ivri means the one who was on one side and all the other people of the world were on the other side. Yes, Avraham was the only one that believed in Hashem. How did Avraham find out about Hashem? Not because his father Terach taught it to him. Not because he went to a yeshiva to learn about it. In fact, everyone around him were saying different. All the people around him did not believe in Hashem. Especially the big Rasha Nimrod, which I'll tell you about a little later. Nimrod was the greatest enemy, the biggest enemy of Avraham. Nimrod wanted to go against Hashem. From the very beginning of Avraham's birth, Nimrod was out to harm Avraham. Even before Avraham went around teaching about Hashem, Nimrod was out to harm him. As the Medrash tells us the story about Avraham's birth, yes, Avraham was born at a very difficult time, in the time when there were many Rishayim, people who were worshipping the Getchkes, the idols. Nimrod was worse than everyone. He's the one who went around telling everyone to bow down to him. Yes, Nimrod called himself a Getchke, a god. He says, I was created by myself. And he says that he is a god. And everyone must recognize him as the greatest king of the whole world. Nimrod fooled everyone and tricked everyone by a very special way. Nimrod would go out into the fields and into the forests to hunt animals. Nimrod had a very special coat that he would wear. And when he would wear this coat, the animals would freeze right in front of him. Nimrod would take out the bow and arrow and shoot straight at the animal, and he will never miss. But the reason was really not because Nimrod was such a great hunter, but because he had that special coat. What kind of coat was this? And where did he get it from? Well, Kindalach, this was a coat that Hashem made for Adam HaRishon, after Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, and he needed clothes. Hashem gave Adam clothes. Adam passed this on to his children, and it went to the grandchildren, till it came to Noach. Noach, Ish Tzadik, took these clothes with him into the Teva. These were very special clothes. They had designs of all animals on it. And whenever any animal would see these clothes, the animals would freeze, would not move. They, of course, will not be able to harm the one who's wearing it. After Noach took this out of the Teva, Cham stole it away from Noach and gave it over to his son, Cush. And Cush gave it over to his son, Nimrod, the big Rasha. Nimrod would wear this while he was hunting, and people would see that every time Nimrod aims to an animal, he always gets it straight. He always kills the animal. And Nimrod would say that this is because I am so powerful. Nimrod would say that he is God. And no one wasn't able to dare to say different than that. Nimrod always had a servant standing next to him, ready to kill, to hang anybody who would say different. One day, Nimrod's astrologers, those are people who look up into the sky and can read certain messages by the stars. And they came to Nimrod and they bowed before him and they said,
"Your Majesty, we have become aware of a very big danger threatening your throne. We see the stars and it shows that a boy will soon be born in your kingdom who will go against you, and he will win over you."
Nimrod turned to his ministers.
"Hey, what do you think we do? What do you suggest?"
And they gave their answer quickly.
"We say that you should order that all the newborn boys shall be killed."
"Hey, that's fine advice. Call a meeting of architects, builders, and workmen, and they should design a special place, many houses, in which women who have to have a child shall be brought to that house."
"Like a hospital."
"And we shall then make sure that only the baby girls will be dismissed alive, and all the baby boys shall be killed."
Terach, one of the best friends of Nimrod, was right there and then when Nimrod was talking about it. And Terach said,
"Nimrod, hey, you don't expect to include my wife in this new decree, in this new gezerah?"
"Of course not, you Terach. You are the most trusted of my ministers."
The terrible Gezerah, the decree, was given out, and from then on, all baby boys were killed. Over 700,000 newborn baby boys were killed. One morning, Nimrod's astrologers asked to see the king. They came in front of the king, and they said,
"The danger is still here, O king. We have seen a star right above the house of Terach, and that star was shooting out in all directions of the sky, and it was swallowing up the four stars in the east, west, north, and south. This clearly points to Terach's new baby boy, who is going to take over your kingdom."
"Well then, order Terach to give me over his baby, and I'll pay him back the loss with a treasury of gold and silver."
Messengers hurried over to Terach's house, demanding his son.
"Deliver your son in the name of Nimrod," they commanded.
"I will not give my son to you."
"But the king said that he will give you a treasury of gold and silver instead. Just give us your son."
Terach laughed, and he said, "Go tell your master. It's just like if they said to the horse, we'll cut off your head, and you'll get a wagon full of hay instead." What did the horse answer? "Fools! If I'm without a head, who will eat the hay?" And the same thing I'm telling you. If you kill my son, what do I need all the gold and silver for? Who will take it over after me? The messengers left, but Terach did not relax. Terach was very worried. He understood that the officers of Nimrod are soon going to be back. What did Terach do? Terach went to his wife Amtalai, and he said, "Quickly, wrap up the baby and hide him in a cave far away from the house. I'm sure they will soon return." And so it was. A short while later, the king's messengers knocked at the door again. But Terach was ready this time. He gave them the son of a maid instead. Yes, Terach had a maid in the house who was ready to give her son instead. Now what happened with little Avraham? Well, Avraham grew up in a cave far away from the Rishayim of the world around him. Yes, when Avraham was only 3 years old, he figured out and he understood and he recognized that Hashem is the creator. How did Avraham figure this out? Well, when Avraham was just a three-year-old boy, he thought to himself, "Maybe I should serve and worship the earth, because all of the fruits and vegetables and everything that we eat come from the earth. So maybe it's the earth that I shall serve." But then he thought to himself, "But the earth is not the most powerful. The earth can't give fruits and vegetables by itself. And I can't serve the earth and worship the earth, which needs somebody else. The earth needs the heavens for rain. So maybe I should bow to the Rakia, to the heavens." No, no, that's also wrong, because the power of the Shemayim, of the heavens, is clear that that is the sun, which keeps the world alive, and it gives warmth and light. The sun must be the mighty God who created me and the whole world around me. And Avraham bowed himself before the sun. But when night came, and the sun went away to make way for the moon, Avraham understood that the sun can't be God, because Hashem has to be all over at all times. Avraham thought maybe the moon is God. But when it came in the morning and the moon left to make room for the sun, Avraham realized that it's not the moon. Finally, by watching the sun come up in the morning and the moon at night and the stars and all the other things around him, Avraham realized that Hashem must be the one and only creator. Yes, Avraham asked himself, "How is it that the sun and the moon, they rise and set at a certain time? There must be someone above them who is running and controlling the whole world. I have not seen him," Avraham said, "but I can understand that only a mighty and merciful God could have created this beautiful world around me. And only Hashem's intelligence is able to keep it going. To him, to Hashem, will I bow." As time passed, and what the astrologers said to Nimrod did not come true, no such boy came to harm and take away the kingdom of Nimrod, the king took away this gezerah, and Avraham was able to return home. Now Terach's business was that he used to sell getchkes, and the young Avraham did his best to talk people out of it, that they should not buy any getchkes. Once it happened that his father Terach had to go on a trip and left Avraham in charge of his store. Before Terach left, he gave Avraham instructions how to take care of the store. "Listen, Avraham, the bigger getchke you give for more money. If an important person comes, you show him the bigger getchke. If it's not such an important person, you show him the smaller one and you take less money." Terach left. Just then, the door of the store opened up, and a man walks in. He looked like a very important man, a very tall, broad-shouldered man. "Give me a big getchka that fits me, that I deserve." Avraham showed him the largest getchka that he can find on the shelves, and the man took out a lot of money to pay for it.
"How old are you?"
"Well, I am 50 years old."
"And you're not ashamed to worship a getchka that is only one day old? My father just made this one yesterday."
The man got confused, put the money back in his pocket, and left without the getchka. Later, an old woman came in. She told Avram that robbers came into her house during the night and stole her getchkas. And she wants to have new getchkas.
"Is that so? If your getchkas were not able to protect themselves from the robbers, how do you expect them to protect you?"
"You are right, little boy. Then who should I serve?"
"The Creator of heaven and earth, who made me and you."
The woman left without buying a getchka. Another woman came with a bowl full of flour. Yes, she wanted to bring it as a korban, an offering for the getchkas. Avram took an axe and smashed all the getchkas, except the biggest. And then he placed the axe leaning against the big getchka. When Terah came back home, he walks into the store and he was shocked. He screamed angrily, "What happened here?"
"Tati, why should I hide the truth from you? While you were away, a woman brought some flour as a carbon, and each getchka said that he wanted to be first to get it. And the biggest getchka got very insulted. So the biggest getchka grabbed an axe and broke all the others."
"What nonsense! Foolishness are you telling me? You know very well that these getchkas can't speak or move around. What are you telling me that the big getchka went around breaking the other ones?"
"Is that so? Well, then think about what you just said, Tati. If they don't speak, and they don't hear, and they can't move around, then Tati, why do you serve them?"
Tati had nothing what to answer. One day, it was Terach's turn to conduct the services before the getchkas in Nimrod's royal palace. Terach took Avram along with him to the capital. When they came to Nimrod's palace, and they found over there a large exhibition of getchkas. There were golden getchkas, silver and copper, wood and stone. Terach brought bread and wine and offered them to the getchkas. Avram looked at the getchkas and said,
"Take them, take the bread and wine. Getchkas, eat and drink and be happy."
None of the getchkas moved or answered with a sound.
"You see, Tati, they're not worth anything."
Then Avram took all the getchkas and pushed them all together into one pile, and he set fire to them and burned them all up and quickly ran away from the palace.
"Hey, this can't be ignored any longer. Terach himself, who was the best friend of King Nimrod, told Nimrod what his son Avram did."
Yes, Kindalach, Avraham did not care what the world around him was saying. He knew that the truth was that there is only one and only God who created heavens and earth. Avram had many tests. Many times, Avraham suffered very much. because of his belief in Hashem, but he did not care. This was Abraham's first test. Abraham had 10 tests to test if he really will obey Hashem at all times. And this was his first test that Hashem tested him. When Abraham did not care about the dangers of going against Nimrod and going against all the people, all the Rishayim of the world, Avram knew that the truth is Hashem himself, and Hashem is the only one that he will obey. Now Nimrod commanded his soldiers to bring Avram to the palace. Avram was arrested by the king's officers and taken to Nimrod. Nimrod sat on top of his throne, which was beautifully decorated, placed high on the top of a tower which had 7 different materials. Whoever came in front of this throne had to bow down before the king. Avram was brought in, but Avram stood straight up, did not bow.
"Are you Avram, the son of Terach?"
"I am."
"Then you are the one who had the chutzpah to burn my getchkes? Don't you know that I am the master of all creation? The sun, moon, and the stars obey me?"
Excuse me. This is new to me. Let me just ask you one thing, and then I'll believe you."
"Well, say it."
The sun rises every day in the east, in Mizrach side, and it sets in the west. If the sun always obeys you, then command that the sun should tomorrow morning rise in the west and set in the east." All the ministers and nobles looked at the king, but Nimrod was strangely silent.
"Or else, you know what? Do a different thing for me and then I'll believe you. Can you let me know what I'm thinking about at this moment? And what I'm about to do next? If you are a god, you should be able to tell me that."
There was perfect silence in the palace. All eyes turned towards the young man who had the courage to ask such questions to the king. Nimrod sat there without even saying a word. No one had ever dared to speak like that to Nimrod.
Don't be so surprised, Nimrod. You can't do that because you're not a god. You're just the son of Cush. And if you deny it, how is it that you were not able to save your own father from dying? The truth is that just as you couldn't have saved your father from death, you won't be able to save yourself either from death when your time comes. You're just a regular person.
Avraham raised his eyes to the Shemayim and called out, "Hashem, see the Rishayim and judge them." Nimrod by this time got himself together and he said,
"Soldiers, immediately put this man into prison."
The soldiers rushed forward, tied up Avraham in chains, and took him away. Avram was thrown into the dungeon, and he was there in jail for full 10 years. But do you think he changed his belief in Hashem? No, not at all. He still believed in Hashem, the one and only God, the creator of heavens and earth. After 10 years being in jail, Nimrod had Avram brought before him a second time to judge him. He still hoped to convince Avram to worship him, to serve his getchkes.
"Let us worship fire," he said to Avram. "It is clear that fire is stronger than anything else in the world."
"If so, let us rather serve the water. That is stronger than fire. Water can put out fire."
"Well, then let us bow to water."
"But the clouds are stronger than the water because they carry it."
So, worship the clouds.
But the wind is stronger than the clouds. The wind can break apart and spread apart the clouds. It must be stronger than the clouds.
I agree. Let us pray to the wind.
No, a person is stronger than the wind, because he is full of air, even though he has openings on his body.
Nimrod lost his temper.
I see that you just want to make a fool of me. I worship fire, and I'll have you thrown into fire, and we'll soon see if your god is stronger than mine.
Nimrod ordered the officers to prepare a furnace, a big oven, in the city of Kastim. And over there, they're going to throw Avram into this big, big furnace. The king's officers announced, "A man who went against the king is about to be burnt. Whoever wants to give wood for the fire can give it for the next 40 days. Within the next 40 days, you can bring as much as wood as you want to give for it." Many, many people came, and they brought so much wood for this fire. Avram had to stand in chains for 3 days, while Nimrod's slaves piled up the wood around him until it was 5 amos high. That's about almost 8 feet high. On the third day, the slaves tightened the chains on Avram's hands and feet. When the word spread that Avram was about to be burnt, a crowd gathered. The women and children stood on the rooftops to see with their own eyes how Avram will be burnt. Amtalai, Avram's mother, stepped forward to kiss her son.
"Avram, my son, just bow down to Nimrod once, and you will be safe from the flames."
"I shall never go against Hashem, Mommy." People from all the other nations were there, and they all called to Avram, and they said,
"Avram, this is your last chance. On whose side are you?"
"I am on the side of Hashem, the creator of the whole universe." Now, Nimrod's slaves grabbed Avram and threw him into the blazing flames. At that moment, Malach Gavriel flew up to Hashem and begged,
"Hashem, let me put out the flames and save the tzaddik from being burnt in the oven."
Hashem answered Malach Gavriel, "There is no one in the Shemayim like me, and there is no one like Avraham on the earth. I myself will go down to save Avram from the fire." Hashem himself asked the flames not to harm Avraham. The wood in the oven turned into lovely fruit-bearing branches, and Avram was able to eat from it. Yes, Avram stayed alive in the furnace for 3 days and 3 nights. Then Nimrod's slaves opened the door, and they see Avram was moving around in the middle of the fire as if in a palace garden. And they see Malachim were keeping him company. The only thing which was burnt were the ropes that was tied around Avram. Those ropes were burnt, and Avram was free, walking around comfortably. Nimrod's servants did not trust their eyes. They didn't believe what they're seeing. Immediately, messengers were sent to the palace to tell the king what happened. Nimrod did not believe it. He came to see it for himself. The door of the furnace was open again, and there was Avram, alive, in the middle of the burning fire. Nimrod was shaken.
"Get him out!"
The slaves moved forward to take out Avram, but whenever they bent over to grab Avram, the flames jumped towards them.
"What takes so long?" asked the king.
The slaves went and tried once more, but the flames sprang up and burnt them alive. Then a malach of Hashem called to Avram and said, "Avram, the servant of the living God, leave the oven. Avram walked out in front of everyone's eyes.
How is it that you are still alive? Nimrod asked him, trembling.
The God who created heaven and earth, the God that you are going against, it is he who saved me from death. Then Nimrod bowed down before Avram, and all the ministers did the same. Avram said to them, Do not bow to me, but bow to the living God, creator of the universe. Now, not everyone that was there really believed Avram's words, that it was Hashem who saved him. Some of them said, ha, 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 you know how Avram was saved? He was saved by magic, because his younger brother Haran is a great magician. He must have done something with the fire, some magic, that Avram should not be burnt. Now, Haran was standing there, and he watched everything that happened with Avram. And Haran could not decide, what should he do? Should he join his older brother Avram and be on Hashem's side? Or should he believe in Nimrod? He decided to wait until he sees what will happen with Avram, and then he'll decide whose side he is on. He thought, if Avram is saved, then I shall say that I belong to Avram's side. If Avram dies, then I shall say that I'm on Nimrod's side. When Avram came out of the fire alive, they asked Haran, Haran, on whose side are you?
I also believe in Avram's God.
They grabbed Haran, and they threw him into the fire, but no miracle happened for him. He was burnt by the flames. Why was Haran burnt and not saved like by Avram? Because Haran was not ready to give his life for Hashem. Miracles don't happen for a person who gives up his life for Hashem only if he thinks he'll be saved. Haran thought he'll be saved. That's why he jumped into the flames. Avram did not know he's going to be saved. Avram was ready to be burnt alive. Hashem made a miracle for Avram, but not for Haran. The Malach HaMaves, the Malach that takes away the neshama of people when the time comes, that Malach came and took Haran's body out of the fire and threw it down in front of Terach. Now everybody saw that the fire was real fire and there was no magic here. It wasn't magic that saved Avram, but it was Hashem. And now the Kiddush Hashem was complete. Avram married his niece, Haran's daughter, Sarai, who was 10 years younger than him. She was a great tzaddikus, just like Avram. Sarai had no children. After Avram was thrown into the furnace and saved by a miracle, Terach said, I can't leave Avram here anymore. It's dangerous. It's a great danger to stay here in this city or custom. We must move to a place which is far away from Nimrod. Avram agreed because he also did not want to depend on miracles. They took their wives and also Lot, who was the son of Avram's brother Haran, and they left the city or custom, planning to go to Eretz Yisrael, which at that time was called Eretz Canaan. They kept on traveling further and further. When they came to the city Haran, which is on the way, Terach says, You know what, Avram, I think we're far enough away from Nimrod. We don't have to move further to Eretz Yisrael. It's enough if we stop here in this city of Haran. We don't have to continue on. So Terach decided to live there. At that time, Avram was 70 years old. In Haran, Avram called public assemblies to let them know about the truth of the one Creator, and he spoke to them about serving Hashem. There were many people who tried to argue with him, and Avram was ready to explain them that they should understand the truth about the one and only Creator. Avram showed him how foolish it is to bow down to Getchkes, and how important it is to recognize the truth that Hashem is the one and only Creator. Avram also wrote books with 400 different chapters, prakim, all explaining about the foolishness of the Getchkes. In this way, Avram got tens of thousands of people following his ways. Tens of thousands of people began believing in Hashem. Avram did not stay in Haran like his father Terach. Avram kept on traveling the land, spreading out the word, letting everyone know about Hashem. Yes, as he was traveling, he also came to Eretz Knaan. And when he came there, he would do the same thing there, teaching people about Hashem. But then he used to come back to Haran and went back and forth between Eretz Knaan and Haran for the next 5 years. When he was 75 years old, he received Hashem's commandment to leave his father's family from Haran and move permanently and stay in the land of Knaan. And that is the beginning of the parsha, which tells us how Hashem said to Avram, Lech Lecha, to go away from his father's house and from the land where he was born, and to go to the place that Hashem will show him. Avraham Avinu is called Avraham Avinu, our father, because he is the father of all the Yidden of all the generations. And just like a father gives his children all the things they need, Avraham Avinu gave over to us, to all the Yidden, the special koyach of Mesiras Nefesh, the very special power to be able to serve Hashem at all times, even when it may seem difficult, even when it may seem that there are many things going against us. We still always serve Hashem, and we're ready to do everything to obey Hashem. Yes, Abraham and Sarai gave away their lives to Hashem, to serve Hashem. Abraham worked very hard to get the men to serve Hashem, and Sarai taught the women. Abraham now was 75 years old, and Hashem has never yet appeared to him. Finally, Hashem's word reached Avram. Leave your land, this city of your house, and your father's house. Hashem told Avram to leave from his father's house, saying, you are so special, such a great tzaddik, Avram. If you'll remain in one place, how will everyone find out about you? Travel around, and then everyone will follow you and serve Hashem. Further, leaving your country will be for your own good. If you stay here in Haran, you will not have any children. But if you change your place of where you live, I will turn you into a great nation. Yes, the Yidden, all of the Yidden will come from you. Hashem benched Avram, saying, I will give you a lot of money, I'll make you rich, and I will give you the special power to bless, to bench whomever you wish to bless. I shall make your name famous in the world. I will give a bracha, a blessing to those who bless you, and those who curse you, I shall curse. All families on earth will be blessed in your schus, in your merit. It is because of you and your children that rain and dew will fall in the entire world. When Avram heard Hashem's words, Avram thought, "How can I leave alone my old father Terach in Haran? I have taught others to be kind. Shall I leave now my own father alone? It won't be a Kiddush Hashem." Hashem said to Avram, "Avram, you really don't have to worry about that. You are freed from that because you may leave your old father. Your father and brothers, who appear to be your friend, really are planning against you. They have in mind to kill you." Hashem did not tell Avram where Avram is to go. Hashem just said to him, "Leave." Avram traveled to an unknown place. Yes, this was the third test of Avram, to see whether Avram is going to ask any questions or is going to listen to Hashem and just go. Avram passed this test successfully. He didn't even ask once to Hashem, "How long will this traveling last? And which place is it that you have in mind for me?" Avram immediately took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, that's his brother Haran's son, and all the people that he has taught about Hashem. They all followed him, and they set out at once on their journey. Everybody saw how Avram is leaving from his land. All the ministers and nobles gave Avram gifts. Even the king Nimrod himself sent him a servant by the name of Eliezer to accompany Avram and serve him. As Avram traveled, Avram was traveling and passed by the land which is called Aram Naharaim. And then he passed the piece of land which is called Aram Nachar. And he looked over there and he sees the people in those places are spending their lives on eating, drinking, making parties. Avram thought, "I hope that this is not the place that I have to be. I hope this is not the land that Hashem wants me to live in."